Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Are you feeling a little pain? Have a cup of coffee. All right, listeners, good news for all you coffee drinkers with our newsworthy clip today, because we're going to tell you how coffee can reduce pain. Woohoo! I know that is good news for Amanda Youngpear.
It is. I am a coffee drinker, I am proud to say, and so I really like this article.
Yeah, any reason we can get to drink more coffee and just enjoy our Java, I want to do it. This is Bill Quinn, but also joining us here is Carolyn Bug. Hi.
Hello.
Are you a coffee drinker?
On occasion.
Yeah?
Yes. Okay. Not every day, but sometimes I find I need a little boost in the afternoon or in the morning if I've stayed up too late the night before.
Okay. Well, it's funny. We've had all sorts of studies that we've covered here on Advanced Magazine in the past couple of years as far as coffee, you know, helping your mental alertness, coffee maybe fighting cancer, coffee extending life, and you know, there's been all sorts of different studies. There's, you can turn on the news or the internet and you'll get different reports on coffee, good or bad for you. So, but this report that we're going to talk about today has a thumbs up on coffee. But before we pour our cup of coffee, let's go back to yesterday. I just want to get a quick review, a couple thoughts or two from our panelists. And first, Carolyn.
Well, yesterday we talked about the first woman in Australia to get a prototype bionic.
First woman in the world.
First woman in the world.
She's in Australia.
But she is Australian. Yes, okay. Yes. Thank you. But she got a prototype bionic eye.
All right. Okay, now does this mean that she can all of a sudden go out and fly a plane?
Not quite, but it does mean that she is able to see flashes of light when she is hooked up to a machine. She receives stimulation to her nerves through electrodes, and she is able to see flashes of light.
All right.
I think yesterday we also learned further to that, that they hope in the future or future prototypes going from 24 electrodes that they are currently testing to hoping to have 1,000 electrodes so that they can make a bionic eye that people will be able to use in everyday life. Mm-hmm. I think this is exciting for those people that suffer from retinitis pigmentosa. And I think it's just amazing how once we've seen it on TV or in a book and it becomes a reality for people so that it improves their way of life.
Yeah. I had mentioned yesterday that my cousin married into a family that had a retinitis pigmentosa. And I was just thinking that it's somewhat common and that so maybe some of our listeners know people that have had this disease. It is a genetic disease. It is passed down. Sometimes it skips a generation. And the other thing is it's kind of random in who it strikes. I had mentioned that my cousin, his wife's family, they had 8 or 9 kids, and actually it struck 2 or 3 of them. And they never really knew, and it just is something that came upon. They never knew who was going to get it, and it came upon them in their mid to late 20s. So it is it was a heavy burden hanging over them. So maybe some of our listeners know people like this, and maybe this is encouraging. They can maybe realize there is some hope in the future. So all is not lost forever. Maybe there will be some hope in the future of regaining vision of some kind. Now, let's get to our newsworthy clip today. You can turn to page 31 in your Advanced magazine, and we are talking about coffee and whether or not coffee can reduce pain. So, let's look at page 31, and our first reading will be the left column.
Study finds new benefit of coffee. It reduces pain. Scientists in Norway have more good news for coffee drinkers. Researchers have already found evidence that coffee beans can help with weight loss, reduce one's risk of developing Alzheimer's disease or dementia, boost muscle growth, protect against certain types of cancers, and can even reduce one's risk of premature death, among many other benefits. Now comes word that a cup of joe reduces physical pain. The surprising finding is based on a study involving 48 volunteers who agreed to spend 90 minutes performing fake computer tasks meant to mimic office work. The tasks were known to cause pain in the shoulders, neck, forearms, and wrists. And the researchers wanted to compare how people with chronic pain and those who were pain-free tolerated the tasks. As a matter of convenience, the scientists allowed people to drink coffee before taking the test to avoid decreased vigor and alertness, sleepiness, and fatigue, they reported.
Study finds new benefit of coffee. What does it do?
It reduces pain.
One more reason to have that cup of coffee in the morning. Now, where was this study performed?
Well, scientists in Norway have done this study, and they have more good news for coffee drinkers.
Woohoo! Just what Amanda and I need, more reason to drink coffee. But there are more reasons. As I had mentioned, we had covered several studies in the past, and so that's what we're talking about in this next sentence here, some of the things that had been discovered previously.
That's right. We see researchers have already found evidence that coffee beans can help with weight loss, reduce one's risk of developing Alzheimer's disease or dementia.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, we're going to talk about a couple things right there, Amanda, this dementia and Alzheimer's disease. So we actually define dementia.
Yes, dementia is a disease or condition that exists especially among older people, and it results in the gradual loss of mental abilities. Okay. So you're not able to think clearly, it's harder to remember things.
Yes, and so it's something that this happens with some frequency as people get older with dementia. They're forgetting things and not thinking so clearly. Now, we also mentioned Alzheimer's in that same sentence. Alzheimer's would be even a more severe, drastic type of mental ailment because it actually involves complete loss of mental functioning. And the person cannot remember who they are. They cannot, with Alzheimer's, they cannot remember any of their family members. They don't remember anything. And not only is it a memory issue, but then actually they can't even function. They can't even really eat. They need absolute total care. So that there's a slight difference between dementia and Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is much more severe, actually, and fatal. People can live with dementia longer than they can with Alzheimer's. Once Alzheimer's does set in the most severe cases, within a couple of years, it'll lead to death. But you will hear both of these diseases talking about people as they age. Coffee has been shown to maybe reduce the risk of developing these diseases. Now, that's some of the mental stuff. And then we continue, Carolyn, in line 11, talking about maybe some of our body stuff.
Yes. So coffee can also boost muscle growth, protect against certain types of cancers, and can even reduce one's risk of premature death, among many other benefits. So
okay.
It sounds like coffee can be pretty helpful if you want to stay healthy.
Yeah, coffee contains phytochemicals and antioxidants that actually will fight cancers, prevent cancers. And then actually we had done, I believe it was a newsworthy clip 3 or 4 months ago on a study that actually, it was an extensive study. I think it involved 400,000 people over about a dozen years. And it did show that the people that drank coffee throughout this study actually lived longer. So that's that part about risking premature death. So it actually, the people that drank coffee during this extensive study, there was a lower risk of dying during the study. So those are some of the benefits from coffee. But now,
comes word that a cup of joe reduces physical pain. So
okay.
Now we're told that a cup of joe, which we see in our specialized terms is a cup of hot coffee, reduces feeling pain.
Why do we call it joe?
I don't know. Why didn't we call it Paul or Tim or Jim?
Or Carolyn, a couple of Carolyn.
Yeah, a cup
or
of Carolyn.
Like that.
That's
so.
Right. I don't know, a cup of Bill.
I think it comes from U.S. military history.
Ooh, oh. I think you are right. Yeah. Yeah, I think they did refer to coffee as Joe in the military. So they're part of their rations that they would send out to the soldiers when they were out in the field. They called it Joe.
Hmm.
Mm, I don't know if it comes from Java. You know, which coffee is sometimes referred to. But
well, Java is the island of Java, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they also refer to coffee as Java. Right?
Where they grow the coffee.
Cup of Java, which, yeah, it's a dual meaning.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Java?
I haven't. I've been to Indonesia, but not Java.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get back to that here later. First, let's take a look at this study, and it had a surprising finding, but let's learn a little bit about how it was conducted.
Right. We see this surprising finding is based on a study that involved 48 volunteers who agreed to spend 90 minutes performing fake computer tasks meant to mimic office work. Now, mimic here means to copy. So they had this study where people were needing to do fake computer tasks to copy what happens in the office.
Listeners, does that sound like your office? The fake computer task. Everybody's just on Facebook, right?
Pretending
they're making
to
it look like they're doing
they're
something. So you can conduct this study in your office. Okay. Now, 48 volunteers agreed to spend 90 minutes doing these tasks. And there's actually a reason they call them fake computer tasks. They are specifically designed. And there is the design of it was aiming at what? Well, let's find out in that next sentence in line 21.
The tasks were known to cause pain in the shoulders, neck, forearms, and wrists. So these tasks that they have to mimic are common tasks in the office, but people know that they cause pain.
Right. There are certain tasks that you can do with your computer or at your desk that are uncomfortable. So there's certain movements, there's certain ways of positioning your body. There's a right way and there is a wrong way. If the right way is being ergonomically correct. So, but most people don't know this. Most offices don't know this. It's an area that people really don't study and say, how do I position my body? How do I put my seat? Where do I put my screen? Where do I put my mouse, my keyboard? So anyways, we got these tasks that people know will cause pain for the people. So the researchers set it up with these fake computer tasks. They were trying to cause pain, these evil researchers. What did they want to do?
Well, they wanted to compare how people with chronic pain and those who were pain-free tolerated the tasks.
Okay, chronic.
Yes, so if you have chronic pain, that means that you suffer from pain every day. It is ongoing, long-lasting ailments, and it's not very enjoyable. And they want to see how people who have chronic pain, so suffer from daily pain, respond differently from those who don't have chronic pain.
Yeah, I think of chronic pain compared with or tied in with computers. One is a lot of people will get carpal tunnel syndrome, and that is the pain, the chronic pain that you have, for instance, in your index finger from clicking the mouse, and it actually goes up to the elbow, even up to the shoulder. So you can have this chronic pain if you're working on your computer constantly. So it's a serious problem. Now, we also see another word there, how these those who were pain-free tolerated the task, tolerated.
To put up with.
Okay.
So that means when they were doing the tasks, they would just put up with having to do the task.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So this is how the test was structured. There was these fake computer tasks aiming at causing some pain for people. Of course, there's a reason so that they can get a reaction and give the researchers something to work with. Now, these evil researchers that are causing pain, they did give one concession to some of the participants we see in the next paragraph.
Yes, I'm not sure that they're so evil if they
evil.
Allow their participants to do this okay. as a matter of convenience. The scientists allowed people to drink coffee before taking the test. And they did this to avoid decreased vigor and alertness, sleepiness, and fatigue.
Vigor.
Vigor is energy. Okay, to have energy. So basically the scientists wanted to make sure that they were ready to go and lively, and so they got them to drink coffee to stimulate that.
Okay, fatigue.
Tiredness. So if you're feeling very tired, you're sitting at your desk, you have these fake computer tasks, not even real computer tasks. It's very easy to feel tired staring at that screen. So drink some coffee.
Yeah. We can become physically fatigued. We can also become mentally fatigued. If you have been working very hard on something that you've had to really do a lot of thinking for hours, then you will become mentally fatigued and your brain just isn't functioning quickly and you just need a break. You just need to go for a walk or something like that. So great words to know, vigor and fatigue. Okay, let's have our second reading for today.
But when it came time to analyze the data, the researchers noticed that the 19 people who drank coffee reported a lower intensity of pain than the 29 people who didn't. In the shoulders and neck, for instance, the average pain intensity was rated 41 on a 100-point scale among the coffee drinkers and 55 for the coffee abstainers. Similar gaps were found for all pain sites measured. The authors of the study cautioned that since the study wasn't designed to test coffee's influence on pain, the results come with many uncertainties. For starters, the researchers don't know how much coffee the coffee drinkers consumed before taking the computer tests. They also doubt that the coffee drinkers and abstainers were similar in all respects, except for their Java consumption. Problems like these tend to undermine the importance of the findings, but those reservations are unlikely to trouble the legions of coffee drinkers looking for any reason not to cut back on their daily caffeine habit.
Bill Quinn here with Carolyn Bug and Amanda Yongpeer. We're right in the middle of newsworthy clips. We're on page 31, halfway through our news clip for today. A study finds new benefit of coffee. It reduces pain. So we just learned in the last section of this first reading about how the study was structured, what the researchers did as far as setting this up to try and actually create some pain in the volunteers. And there's a reason they did that. They wanted to see if there was a way to maybe affect how much pain people did suffer. And one of the things that they did is they let some of the people drink coffee before taking the test. And it's interesting. The reason they did that, the reason they let some of the people, they may have let all the people decide to drink coffee or not. Because the reason they let the people drink coffee, and this is what I'm getting from that last sentence of our first reading, to avoid decreased vigor and alertness, sleepiness, and fatigue. So their finding may have been almost somewhat accidental, because it looks to me like they gave everybody a choice. Not everybody chose to drink coffee. Okay. Now, let's get into this reading, that right column there. And we start out with the word but. But.
But when it came time to analyze the data, the researchers noticed that the 19 people who drank coffee reported a lower intensity of pain than the 29 people who didn't. So it sounds like 19 people who were in this study decided that they would like to drink some coffee during this experiment, and they had a lower intensity of pain.
Okay, the 19 people who drank coffee, the people who chose to drink coffee. So, and there were 29 people that chose not to drink coffee. So, and it was related to staying alert. The people didn't drink the coffee or not drink the coffee because they had any idea about how this is going to impact pain.
Right.
They just drank it because they want to get awake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was a personal choice. So probably if I were in this study, yeah. I would not drink coffee because I don't usually drink coffee.
Right.
But maybe you might, Bill.
Yeah. Amanda and I might drink the coffee before the study. If they offered, I'd say, sure, give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Intensity, lower intensity.
The strength level the level of strength of something.
Okay. All right. Where is this intense pain?
Well, in the neck and shoulders, for instance, the average pain intensity was rated 41 on a 100-point scale among the coffee drinkers. So not too high, not too high at all. And 55 for the coffee abstainers.
Mm.
So the people who did not drink coffee, they abstained, chose not to drink any coffee.
Okay, when you abstain, that's a verb. You don't do something. Abstainers or abstainer here is actually used as a noun. So slight difference in the pain level for these people. And we talked about shoulders and neck, but this was all around, right?
Right. We see similar gaps were found in all pain sites measured.
Okay.
So earlier we saw that the researchers wanted to see which pain was caused, not only shoulders and neck, but also forearms and wrists.
Mm-hmm.
And so possibly included those areas as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, what did the authors of the study have to say about this?
Well, they do caution that since the study wasn't designed to test coffee's influence on pain, the results come with many uncertainties.
Mm.
So the purpose of this study was not to find benefits of coffee in reducing pain.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. The test was not designed to study coffee's impact on pain. That was not the purpose of this study. So they actually were studying pain. I think they were studying the ergonomics of people sitting at a computer, but they were not studying coffee's impact on all of this. So now, and we continue in line 15 for starters.
The researchers don't know how much coffee the coffee drinkers consumed before taking the computer tests. And we see for starters is in our vocabulary focus. It's an idiom. It says as a beginning or with more to follow.
So for starters, we're going to learn about coffee, and then we'll learn about something else.
Very good. Right. We'll do something else later, but we're just going to get started with this one thing. So now, the researchers also doubt what?
They also doubt that the coffee drinkers and abstainers were similar in all respects except for their Java consumption.
What does that sentence mean?
Well, it means that the scientists, the researchers, are not sure that those participating in the survey were exactly the same, except for the amount of coffee they drank. So they might have other factors that they need to consider before they can really decide whether or not this coffee reduction in pain, whether or not that is true.
Yeah. 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 You don't know. Everybody's so different. So you just can't say, oh, well, all the participants are the same and the difference is coffee. You don't know that. Nobody knows that.
Right. So. Especially since these were 48 volunteers.
Yeah.
So they weren't really looking for that type of study.
Okay. So what is the challenge with having some of these – all these unknown variables?
Well, problems like these tend to undermine the importance of the findings because they weren't heading out to do that at the beginning or that was not the goal of the study. These problems could actually undermine what they were trying to find in the original test.
Undermine.
It means to lessen or actually make less worthy the importance of what they were trying to find.
Right. Maybe negate the results. When you undermine something, you're running counter to what is being stated. So it's possible that these, you know, all of this, these problems might say, well, the findings are not exactly correct. So that means it undermines some of these findings. But we see those reservations.
But those reservations are unlikely to trouble the legions of coffee drinkers looking for any reason not to cut back on their daily caffeine habit.
Okay. First, the word reservations here. Amanda, am I talking about calling up a restaurant and asking them to hold a table for me?
No, it comes back to the word reserve, which means to hold back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To keep back.
Okay. And if you have reservations about something, you have doubts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really not certain whether or not it's true or if you want to do something.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And then legions is one of our vocab focus terms.
Yes, a legion is just a large number of people.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they aren't quite sure about the results of this study is probably not going to be a problem for the legions of coffee drinkers, for the numerous people that enjoy drinking coffee.
Yeah, actually, legion being a military term, and it used to be, I don't know, thousands of people, so legions of troops. So legion is a huge number. Interesting, we've got a couple military references here, legions, and then as you mentioned, Carolyn, cup of Joe, and pretty much figured out that Joe comes from military rations that were sent out to soldiers. So, all right. But I know Amanda and I, we certainly, we don't need any reason not to cut back on our coffee, right?
That's right. I'm always happy to keep up with my daily caffeine habit.
Okay. All right. And if our listeners want to keep up with their daily advanced fix, what should they do, Amanda?
Well, they can go to our website at studioclassroom.com. They can go in there and maybe even go to the English corner and talk about, or if they have any questions or comments they want to make about today's article, or go to Topic Talks, or even find us on Facebook. I know, Bill, you're pretty proactive on Facebook.
Yeah, I usually check our Facebook page several times during the day to check out any comments from our listeners, not just on advance. I also look at the Studio Classroom and Let's Talk in English comments to see if there's anything there I might be able to answer. So love to hear from our listeners. I really would like to get your input on this. And in fact, let us know. I'm curious if you are a big coffee drinker and if you find that it's helpful. I don't know if you noticed any decrease in pain, but I want to know if you're sitting at your computer doing some of those fake computer tasks. Are you just looking busy, or are you actually doing work? So I know they're all – our advanced listeners are all working hard.
They are very hard workers.
Yeah, so I'm just kidding, everybody. But I'm not kidding about this when I say come on back tomorrow. Till then, this is Bill.
This is Carolyn.
And Amanda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.